Well, Michael Olson's third law of the food chain, cheap food isn't. And, well, it isn't, is it? You know, you buy cheap food and you get food that's cheap. And so today we pause to ask, can we feed a family of four good food for $10 or less?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 646th edition of the Food Chain right here on News Talk Radio. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends over there in Portofino who are tuned in as we stream along on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with engineer Nikki James on the board. Hello, Nikki.
Hello.
Producer Carol Stafford is on the phone right now. Producer Parmalee Taff.
Hello.
And Kelsey Olson.
Good morning, Dad.
Hey, folks, I received a note from Kyle Bauer at our food chain affiliate in KFRM in Kansas. Please, he said, host someone on the food chain who can teach young people how to shop for food. You know, I thought about about Kyle's request for a while and realized the gravity of its implications. Our young are no longer connected to the source of their food. Parents no longer stay at home to teach their children how to shop, prepare, and cook for food, and our young now get most of their food knowledge from commercials on TV. How complete this loss of knowledge was relayed by the John Kagebine, who's the general manager of the local county fair. John has hired some behavior-challenged youth from the county work camp to clean up the fairgrounds for the opening of the fair. And as he was moving about the fairgrounds, he noticed that a group of the young people had gathered around a 4-H barn, and fearing trouble, he went over to see what was going on. What he found going on, he did find to be most troubling. The young had gathered to watch in amazement as a young member of the 4-H milked her cow. Wow! So that's where milk comes from. How can we expect our young to make good decisions about their food when they know so little about that food? How can we expect our young to make good decisions about life when they are feeding their bodies foods containing very few nutrients? Given the gravity of those questions, Kyle Bauer's request for someone to teach the basics of shopping for food makes a lot of sense. And so today we ask, can we feed a family of four good food for less than $10 or so? And here to help us find an answer, we have Chef Mike Rounds, who is the author of the 99-Cent Gourmet. Welcome to the Food Chain, Mike.
Good morning, Michael. It's a pleasure to be here.
Okay, you sound a little weak. You'll have to speak up as much as you possibly can. Is that possible?
Yep. You guys sound great on your end. I guess I'm just bad connection on mine.
Okay, we'll just pump you up as much as we can. So you're a chef. You went to chef school, some very fancy chef schools, right?
Well, I've attended a lot of seminars there. I'd love to be able to take a couple of years out and go to the Cordon Bleu, but I'm a professional speaker.
Okay, good. And how is it that you got into speaking about food then?
It was kind of a backdoor type of situation. I've been a gourmet chef most of my life. I learned to cook when I was a kid. I'm out of that era when my grandmother cooked and lived with us, and my mother was an emancipated woman long before it was popular. She went to work. When my grandmother passed away, my mother didn't know what to do. So I had to learn how to cook out of necessity, either that or go to school hungry.
Uh-huh.
And then I was fortunate. I got a job when I was in high school working in a coffee shop that hired a consultant who had been a chef for cruise lines. And I asked him if he'd teach me to cook, and he said yes. So I was originally trained by a cruise ship chef.
Huh.
And then over the years, I've just done a lot of cooking. It seems like none of the women in my life have ever cooked, and I always enjoyed it. So I just kept cooking, and whenever I've had time, I would go to seminars at places like Ramekins and Cordon Bleu and study and then practice a lot on my own.
So how does a gourmet chef become the 99-cent gourmet?
It happened really kind of as a fluke. I went shopping at the 99-cent store. Now, for any of your listeners that are not in an area where that appears, they're typically called dollar stores. And they're known as bent and dent stores or railroad salvage stores or deaded can stores. And I went looking for something one day just because it was convenient, and I started looking at their foods. And I suddenly realized that they had the same foods as the bigger name supermarkets do, but they were at much reduced prices. Now, I have a background in project management, and there's a process in the world called design to cost. My last day job was in the toy business. I was the vice president.
What does design to cost mean?
Well, that's what the toys are done with. My last day job was vice president of one of the world's largest toy manufacturers. And because toys are sold at a retail price and they're marked up on a specific ratio, you only have so much money to build a toy.
Oh, okay. So, for example, if you're going to make a doll, this doll will only sell for this much money.
Right.
Right? So then you have to design all the costs to fit that parameter.
Right. Okay. Well, the 99-cent store has the same thing. They charge 99.99 cents, a buck. And they know what their markups are. So this week, Michael Olson goes to the soup seller, and the guy says, the soup is 33 cents. And you say, great, we'll take 14 bazillion cases of it. Next week, the soup seller says, Michael, the soup is now 35 cents. And you say, not for us it isn't, because we can't put it on the shelf at a buck and still make our margins. So they don't always have all the food on the shelf, but it's always the same price.
Gotcha then.
It's the same food.
Just different prices.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
And, of course, places like the 99-cent store have become formidable in their size and their buying power, so they now have a lot of leverage.
So you went into the 99-cent store to buy food, and you found food.
Yeah. And I started looking at it, and I thought, gee, I wonder if I can really cook a good meal with it. And I discovered that I could. I was in a conversation with somebody, and they said, can you really fix, like a full breakfast for somebody for $10? And I said, based on what I found out, I said, I can do it for $1 a person. And I was challenged. And on my website, mealsforlessmoney.com, you'll find the recipes up there to do bacon, sausage, eggs, hash brown, toast, and coffee for 93 cents a person.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not.
Wow. Okay, then we're interested. All right, so let's talk a little bit about the first question I wanted to ask you was this: what foods do we buy when we don't know what foods to buy?
Oh boy, that's always an interesting question. What does your family like, and what are they willing to eat?
Here's what I'm trying to get at. Given the fact that so much of us know so little about food anymore, what kinds of foods do we buy when we don't know anything about food?
Well, the first thing that you should start with, if you're
not
trying...
Not should. What do we do?
What do we do? Well,
yeah,
what
do
we
do
is we eat out. We let somebody else make the choices for us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not necessarily a good idea. Fast food restaurants have limited menus for sheer economics. That way they don't have to inventory stuff that they don't sell. But we've become addicted to a very limited menu, and we tend to buy in that range. And that's not necessarily the best idea, especially if you're trying to save money.
Okay, then what kinds of foods do we buy when we don't know what kinds of foods to buy? So we don't have any knowledge about foods, and we go in and we buy foods, yet what kinds of foods do we buy when we lack the knowledge of foods?
Well, we tend to buy what we are used to eating. For example, if you're used to eating in a Mexican restaurant, then you'll head for the frozen food section and buy frozen burritos. It's the same. We don't tend to vary our eating habits. Where the money ends up being spent is in where you shop, how you shop, what you buy, and how much you serve. And it's not necessarily our taste in foods,
mm-hmm.
but how we go about buying them. There are very few things, unless you're dealing with something like gourmet food where you've got black truffles or something like that in it, that really have to cost that much money. They can be done for less money if you do them yourself.
You know, I did a radio show from the Wounded Knee Reservation up in South Dakota.
Uh-huh.
And, well, not the reservation, but near Wounded Knee. And I met my guest at a convenience store, which was the only store around. And happened, while I was waiting for him to show up, I was looking at the food. And it was fats and salts and sweets.
And expensive.
and inexpensive, but yet there's no nutrition in that stuff. And so it's not inexpensive. It's very expensive for what you get.
Well, in the long haul, you're not doing your body any good. And generally what happens is the stuff is designed to not necessarily stay with you over a period of time. So you tend to eat more of it.
Thus the salts.
Yeah.
So the more you eat, the more you want to eat.
Yep, that's exactly it. What it does is it stimulates your taste buds to the point of where you can't satiate yourself.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to ask Mike Rounds, Chef Mike Rounds and author Mike Rounds, what goes into the cost of food and how can we control those costs. This is The Food Chain. I am Michael Olson. Today we're talking about how to shop for food with Mike Rounds, author of The 99 Cent Gourmet, and you, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Right back. Please do stay tuned.
Get this. The average acre of farmland in or near the city limits may earn in excess of $123,000 per year. To learn how so much can be earned from so little, pick up a copy of MetroFarm, the guide to growing for big profit on a small parcel of land. MetroFarm is the PMA Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner by Michael Olson that contains over 500 pages of photos, charts, checklists, illustrations, and in-depth interviews. MetroFarm will teach you how to develop a strategy, survey markets, select crops, organize business, establish production, prepare for market, and make the sale. MetroFarm will teach you how others just like you earn a good living by growing high-value specialty crops for people who are truly appreciative. Abraham Lincoln said, "The greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living from a small parcel of land." Get in on that future today. Pick up a copy of MetroFarm at bookstores, lawn and garden supply stores, 1-800-624-BOOK, or at www.metrofarm.com.
Well, what do you think? Can we feed a family of four good food for $10 or less? Wow. Mike Rounds suggests that it's certainly possible. In fact, he says we can feed breakfast, bacon, eggs, sausage, coffee, toast, the works, 93 cents. Possible? What do you think? Breaks my mind thinking about it, but it must be possible because Mike says it is. Is that really true, Mike? Can you do that? 93 cents for a breakfast like that?
Yes, it is. And on my website, I posted the menu and where to buy the food. It's not that difficult.
And where to buy the food. Well, let's get down to some real basic questions. What goes into the cost of food and how can we control those costs? Let's start with the cost of foods. What are the costs? Where do they come from?
Well, actually, there are five areas, and two of them are pretty much out of our control. That's the cost to grow or produce the food and the cost to transport it to the stores. That's pretty much in somebody else's bailiwick.
Well, what if you were buying local food? Wouldn't you have some control over transportation then?
Yes, if you can have access to local farmers with their roadside stands and things like that. That's great, but that's not always a possibility for people.
Okay.
It's a wonderful place to do it. When we travel up and down the state, I always love to stop at the roadside stands. The produce is really inexpensive. Usually you have a kid sitting in there in the chair with an iPod and a comic book, and the fresh produce is a fraction of the cost of what it is in the store, and it's fresh, been pulled right out of the field.
Sure. There, and you save money on the transportation to boot. So what are the three costs that are in there that we can control?
Where you shop?
Mm-hmm.
What you buy, and how much you serve. And I've got a bonus. It's called how you shop.
Oh, and so that makes four items that we can control.
The how you shop is the big gun, and I'd like to share that with your audience.
Let's save that for the end then.
That's right. Where
we can save the most money.
It's one of the best places that I've found to control people's shopping budget that anybody's ever come up with.
Okay, let's start with where you shop.
Okay.
Do we all have to shop at the 99-cent store?
No, but it's not a bad idea. And what you really want to do is check out your local neighborhood to find out where the food prices are cheaper. Now, we're in Los Angeles, and we have here the 99-cent stores, where, of course, everything is 99 cents, and we also have a chain called Food for Less. They're owned by Kroger Foods. They are, rather than being a big, fancy Megamart store with all the overhead, a place that looks like a warehouse. You have to bag your own food. It's not fancy. The aisles and the shelves are big steel shelving type things. They don't have all the fancy stuff up there, but the food can be up to 40% less, and it's the same food.
So it's especially for anything packaged, of course, right?
Right.
That's what we're talking about.
Well, you can also get a lot of things like breads and vegetables and fruits and fresh produce for a lot less money, too. They just don't have the fancy overhead. Remember this, Michael. The more people that touch your food, the more it's going to cost.
So if you find a place where the food isn't touched a lot, it's likely going to cost less.
Yes, and so if you find a place that doesn't have fancy overhead, that doesn't have lots of checkers, that doesn't have the customer service representatives, where you have to bag your own food, you don't have to pay for that.
And therefore you can save money on what you buy.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
They pass those savings along.
Now, are the foods in these stores as good as the foods in the fancier stores?
As a general rule, they're the same foods, especially when you're buying canned goods.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, they are. The meats are fresh. Virtually everything these days is controlled by FDA and certification and inspection. It's just a matter of the overhead.
Mm-hmm.
And what I really invite you and your listeners to do is to take a look at the differential between a place like Food for Less and a fancy supermarket. And you'll see immediately that a fancy supermarket is designed to be a warm, comfortable, inviting place. Come on in, have a good time, Michael. Spend more time here, because the more time you spend, the more money you'll spend.
That's a good point. And it's nice here, and you can meet your neighbors and hang around the grocery cart and have conversations. But in
sure,
addition,
there's been this whole relationship concept about meeting people in grocery stores.
Uh-huh. And so you don't quite have that atmosphere at a discount store. It's like, get in and get your stuff and get the heck out of there, right?
Yeah, you're here to get your food.
Right. So you spend less time in it in the store, and more successful that way.
The food isn't displayed. It's clean and neat, and it's geometric on the shelves,
mm-hmm.
but they don't have all the fancy point-of-purchase displays and all of the attraction things. They don't have the wonderful little LCD video screens there that show you the perfect homemaker preparing a family of four by buying $3,000 worth of food for the evening. That stuff's all conspicuous by its absence. But if you know what you want, and professional chefs do this, if you own a restaurant, you can't afford to be frivolous in your buying. You buy to a budget.
Right.
And one of the things that you see in places like this are a lot of purveyors, a lot of people that own small restaurants. Now, on the other side of the coin, you have to be careful about what are known as the discount or volume stores like Costco.
Oh, wait a minute. Now, what's the difference?
I thought
that's what you were talking about.
No. I'm talking about stores that have a generic appearance rather than a fancy appearance. Costco is the evolution of what we call a purveyor store. One of the very first that I knew about was called Smart and Final. Probably have them in your area.
I've seen them, yes.
Okay, Smart and Final sells to restaurateurs. And you can get a good price on stuff, but you got to buy a lot. And this is one of the problems that people run into. Shopping at Costco is a wonderful idea if you can afford to transfer inventory costs.
I don't know what to do with all the toilet paper.
Yeah. Do you have any kids in the neighborhood that are planning a frat party?
Yeah.
They'll find something to do with that.
So a purveyor store is a volume store then?
That's correct.
Oh.
They sell in volume with the idea that you're going to use in volume and you're going to use rapidly. For example, if you go to Costco and you find something that normally costs you $2, and Costco will sell it to you for $1, you say, wow, that's a heck of a deal. But you got to buy 12 cans.
Right.
Now you got 11 cans worth of inventory cost that you've transferred from their store to your pantry. And if you're trying to save money, that doesn't make any sense. Also, because you have a lot of it, you tend to oversize or supersize the stuff, and eventually what happens is you get tired of it and you either throw it away or donate it to a food bank.
Wow. So you might not be saving money by shopping at a purveyor store like Costco, because you have to buy so much more.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
How much food do you have in your pantry that's been sitting around there for a long time and sometime you're going to get around to it, but you haven't gotten around to it yet and it's still got mold on it?
Well, there you go. There you go. You know, we tend to keep a lot of food around the house just, you know, for because we live in earthquake country, and who knows what's going to happen tomorrow, you know. So we have a lot of canned foods that we keep around the house. So it's, you know, but buying in bulk, you do lose a lot that way, don't you?
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. It's not a great idea.
So there's a significant difference then between a discount store and a regular grocery store and a purveyor store.
Yeah.
So there are three different kinds of stores then. So describe again the discount store then. That's just pure, plain Jane, plain vanilla store with no accoutrement.
That's correct. Nice word. Yeah, that kind of describes it. You go in, and what you normally pay a buck for, you get for 75 cents, and you only have to buy one.
Yeah.
And that's a good deal. You just save 25%. If you're going into a volume purchase store, like a purveyor store, and you have to buy a dozen of them, that's not cheaper.
That may or may not be cheaper.
Yeah, probably not. Not unless you're a restaurant or you're serving a lot of people. Now, I'll tell you where it does work out. If any of your listeners are shopping for an event, such as a church event or something like that, where they're going to feed a lot of people and you've got to get a lot of food, then you're really shopping to a budget, and a place like Costco can save you a lot of money if you really do need 24 cans of something.
Okay. And then what about the trend? We've got to take a quick break. What about the trend toward ultra-fancy social stores that sell, you know, very high-priced organic foods? Probably not a good place to save money, right?
Not a good place to save money. The foods are usually wonderful. They have a lot of flavor, a lot of taste. But quite frankly, commercial foods have been mechanized to save money. And because you're paying for a lot of hand labor and a lower volume.
Okay, I'm going to take a quick break. But when we get back, what you buy, we will return with Mike Rounds and how to save money on shopping for food. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Michael Olson, this is The Food Chain. Stay tuned. Well, can you feed a family of four good food for $10 or less? Well, Mike Rounds says you can, and he has the recipes to prove it and the places to find it. Mike, quick question. Do these discount stores have any fresh produce?
Yes, they do.
They do. Good.
Yes, they do.
The second part of the question, what's helpful about canned foods?
Well, most canned foods are picked, packed, canned, and cooked right at the peak of freshness. There's absolutely nothing wrong with canned foods. Fresh frozen, or what they call flash frozen, mm-hmm. of course, is better. And gourmets the world around will tell you it's probably better than fresh in most cases because they got it right at the peak and hasn't been sitting in a refrigerator for a couple of days.
You know, I was always worried about fresh fish for that reason. You know, when you get, you're like up in the back country of Montana and somebody has fresh salmon. I kind of wonder how fresh could it be.
Well, they've got to truck it in.
Yeah.
So
I'd rather have fresh frozen salmon than fresh salmon.
It's actually better and more flavorful. The thing about flash freezing, I don't know whether you've ever watched any of the Food Channel programs or not, but when they flash freeze, they freeze stuff so fast that the ice crystals are very, very small.
Ah.
And one of the things that destroys food in freezing is the size of the ice crystals. And what they end up with is the equivalent of little knives. And these larger crystals, as you slowly form them in there, actually cut up the food. It louses up the texture. That's why stuff that's been frozen improperly. You put something in your freezer and take it out, and if your freezer wasn't cold enough, it tastes a little mealy.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same thing as standing there with a couple of knives and trying to make mincemeat out of it. You pulverized it. The ice crystals will do it for you.
There you go. Let's go to Angela, who I think is going to back you up a little bit here. Angela, welcome to The Food Chain. Michael Olson here with Mike Rounds. Go ahead.
Hello, Michael.
Hello, Angela.
From what I heard the first part of the program, I felt I should have written that book.
So you're a value shopper then, aren't you?
Oh, you bet. And I have gone to all those places except Food for Less that's not around this area. At least I haven't found it yet. There mm-hmm. was one in San Jose, I believe, and I went in there once. But I was sort of underwhelmed by their prices. But then I wanted to also, he didn't point out the membership cost for Costco, that you know, you have to sort of figure that in. You pay the $50 first before you can buy anything, right?
Ooh, that's right.
And you have to buy a lot of stuff to make up the $50.
Well, let me ask you this, Angela. Can you feed a family of four good food for less than $10?
You bet.
You bet?
I can do it less than that. I have put on very good dinners for $6.
Well, would you invite me to one then sometime?
Excuse me?
Would you invite me to one of those dinners sometime?
You better believe it if you want to come, but you're hard to get a hold of. I have tried to buy your book at a Watsonville bookstore 3 times, and they never have it. And I believe very much in buying locally if I can.
Uh-huh.
So I'm finally going to go to Amazon and get it.
Well, you know what? It sells out, but just keep after them, and they'll get it for you, hon.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for the call.
Wait a minute. There was one other thing.
Sure. Go ahead.
Now, the 99 cent, I always buy all my fruit there, well, almost all my fruit there, and I've had some tremendous bargains from in there, and including some frozen items, you know, that are stouffers and things like that. And another place that has really pretty good and inexpensive cheese is the Martin Final.
Uh-huh.
Which I always buy the big blocks of cheddar there for $2 a pound.
$2 a pound?
Uh-huh.
For cheddar cheese.
Yep.
That's
and Monterey Jack.
Yeah, that's a deal.
Yep. So I just thought I'd put my bit of...
So it certainly sounds possible. Thank you so much for the call, Angela. Well, there's somebody to back you up, Mike.
Well, that's good. There's lots of people out there.
Lots of people who are value shoppers. You know, the second part, we talked about where you shop, and that's just what Angela was talking about. But the next one was what you buy.
Yes. Let's talk about Madison Avenue and all of the advertising hype.
Uh-huh.
We're
advertising here, though.
Well, yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with it. But what they're doing is they're advertising a name brand.
Mm-hmm.
And let's take a canned good, for example. As I mentioned a moment ago, you take something like green beans. Green beans are picked, packed, cooked, and canned all at the same time. When they hit the end of the line, they split into two labeling machines. One puts the name brand on it, and the other one says green beans. It goes to Food for Less. And my question to your listeners is, did you really think they sorted those things?
Yeah, there's a union representative standing there separating the beans into generic, and
yeah.
Well, it doesn't seem likely that that happens. So
you
suggest that there is no difference in the quality
between a
name brand and a generic brand.
No, in blind taste tests, people can't tell the difference. So buying name brands, especially if you're putting it into something where you're adding seasoning, sauces, and flavorings, doesn't make sense because you're paying up to 30% more for the name on the outside.
Wow.
And that 30% is in the advertising and the promotion. When you take a place like Food for Less and they put up a generic case of green beans in there, it's a white label with black letters on it. It says green beans.
Green beans. Yeah. And it's the same green beans as the fancy label.
Well, yeah. See, it's packed by the same purveyors and the same growers. Same packaging houses. That's how they do it. It's called a B line as opposed to an A line. People have done that for years. They have discounted their products and put a different brand name on them. And what they end up doing is competing with themselves. But what you end up with are people who buy on price rather than on name.
And
they've always
done
this. Just about every major manufacturer has a B line. If I'm giving away any industrial secrets, okay, that's how it goes. But it's the truth. They really do.
Well, they certainly do that with wines, don't they?
Yeah, they do it with just about everything.
Just about everything.
Back when I was in college in the 60s, I learned about this from Radio Shack. Radio Shack has their own line of products, but they're manufactured by name brand companies. And Radio Shack is huge, so they can buy in large volumes. But their condition is that the manufacturer put the Radio Shack name on it, and Radio Shack sells it for significantly less money. It's the same product.
And there you are.
Yeah. And a lot of major stores do this.
So, you know,
I come to you and I say, Michael, I'd like to buy 100,000 of whatever it is that you're selling. And you say, you got my attention. You spoke into my good ear, the one connected to my wallet. And I say, yeah, but I have a condition. I want it to say Mike Rounds instead of Mike Olson. And you say to me, how do you spell your name?
And that's how it turns out.
That's how it turns out.
So the step number one, of course, is pay attention to where you shop, because where you shop can have a lot of impact on the price you pay.
Yep.
Number two is what you buy will have a lot of impact. If you want to buy a name brand of something, then you're going to have to pay for the name brand. But chances are you could get the same product in a generic brand and pay less.
Now, let me tell you how to get the name brands for a lot less money.
Oh, good.
You shop at places like the 99-cent stores and the dollar stores.
There you go.
And before your listeners say, wait a minute, I've done that. The food is just about to expire, says who?
Ah.
Well, that date code on the top, it says best if used by yesterday. Well, let me explain something to you about date codes. While I was researching my book, I did a lot of work on it. There's only two foods that are required to have an expiration date on them, some baby foods and baby formulas. The rest of the stuff are suggested use-by dates put on them by the manufacturer to get you to rotate the stock or to use the food.
There you go. Eat it now or it won't be any good. Huh.
I was in the Marines in the 1960s. We were eating sea rations from the 1940s.
Been there.
Okay.
Folks, this is the Food Chain. Michael Olson here. We have Mike Rounds teaching us how to chop for food and pay less and get more. Right back. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Well, I'm hungry. You're hungry. Our two friends are hungry. Can we feed us, all four of us, good food for $10 or less? Mike Rounds, the 99-cent gourmet, suggests that we can do that. And we can do it even for less if we're smart. How do we get smart? Well, the first thing we do is we pay attention to where we shop. Some places cost more than others, so pay attention. The second thing is that we pay attention to what we buy. If we want to buy the name brand foods, we're going to pay more than if we want to buy the generic foods. And chances are very good that the generic foods will have the same food as the name brands foods, and you can pay less. Third thing, how much you buy. What do you mean by how much you buy?
That's a great one. Americans have become victims of supersizing because of the fast food places. We believe that if a little is good, more is better, and we're serving too much food, which accounts for part of the reasons why we're having weight problems. Right now, everybody and their brother is using large plates, large portions, and oversizing stuff or supersizing it. If you cut back on the amount of food that you serve, your guests, your family will probably be perfectly satisfied, and it won't cost you more. The more you serve, the more it costs.
And I think, you know, the greatest secret to that is the speed with which you eat. Not only do we eat a lot, but we eat it really fast. And when you eat food really fast, you can go through a lot of food.
Sure.
Right? And maybe just slowing down when you eat will help you eat less so that you don't have to buy more.
Well, food eating contests are a real good example of that, Michael. They give you a time. How many hot dogs can you eat, you know, in, was it 8 minutes or something like that at Nathan's in New York or something like that?
And pretty sad stuff.
If you and I could have 6 weeks, we could beat the record.
Yeah, absolutely. 6 weeks at least when it comes to hot dogs. So you suggested when we began that how you shop is the big one. That's how you save the most.
Yeah. And this has to do with the financial industry in the United States. If you are living on a budget, shop with cash only. If you go to the grocery store and you have $20 to spend, and you only have $20 in your pocket, and you have left your credit card and your checkbook at home, you can't spend more than $20.
Mm-hmm. So are you suggesting then that people are borrowing money from their credit card companies in order to buy food?
Sure. Everybody does. I see it in the stores all the time. Unless somebody is just absolutely flush or they're shopping with cash, they go buy something that they really didn't want to begin with. They say, oh, what the heck, and they throw it in the shopping cart. And that, oh, what the heck, can be anywhere from $3 to $30. It depends on what they're buying. Or they decide that they were going to buy something better than what they thought they were going to buy, like a name brand rather than a generic. It costs more. Remember when you were a kid and somebody gave you a dollar and you went to the candy store and an hour later the guy says, you ever going to buy something? And you say, yeah, but I want to get my money's worth. Well, if all you've got is $20, you can't exceed your budget. That's all you've got to spend. The stores won't give you credit anymore.
And once you hand them the credit card, you're paying interest.
Yeah.
And once you're paying interest, you know, even the cheapest food can become very, very expensive, right?
Right.
Wow.
On a checkbook, you end up borrowing money from your own bank account to buy more. So if you live on a budget,
shop with cash.
Shop with cash. Probably one of the fastest ways to save money that I know of. You can't spend it, you can't spend it.
So, so just go in with cash, and you really learn to be parsimonious then with your cash. I mean, you got a $20 bill, and that's all you got, and you aren't going any farther. So you really start thinking about what you're doing then, don't you?
Yeah, I have been involved in some dinners with people where we have decided that we're going to feed a group of people, and we only have so much money to shop. And the name of the game is, how exotic a meal can we fix, let's say, for four people for $10? And you'd be surprised what you can do if you really want to get creative. You find that little 99-cent calculator starts to get used a lot.
Uh-huh. So what can you do for $10?
Well, it just depends what you want to do. I've already told you that you can fix breakfast for four people for $4 or less.
Yeah.
That's not all that.
Bacon and sausage and eggs and coffee and toast and everything.
Yeah. There are certain foods that are very inexpensive. And, of course, eating a lot of them isn't good for you. But things like rice, pasta, and potatoes, which are high in starch, are very inexpensive. But they make a great foundation. Eggs are a wonderful foundation for a lot of things, and they're good for protein. I know that people are going to say the cholesterol is high. The jury's out on that. I can't argue the nutritional aspects because I'm not a doctor.
Some people say eggs are bad, and other people say eggs are very good.
That's one of those places where we get two people and four opinions, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so eggs are a wonderful foundation for doing things. There are, starting with the proteins, there are inexpensive processed meats. And once again, well, you get sausage, and the bacon is generally turkey bacon rather than the pork bacon. You get a lot of lunch meats. You get a lot of sausages. And the stuff is relatively inexpensive. You can get ground beef. You can get chicken. The stuff is generally on sale if you look for it. And it cooks up in thousands of ways that work very well. So you can get your protein base there. As far as doing meals, I do a lot of things with vegetables.
Uh-huh.
I'm a great proponent of mirepoix. Now, if that's,
mirepoix?
Yes. M-I-R-E-P-O-I-X. Okay, and every one of your listeners has eaten mirepoix all their life. They just don't know it by that term. That's the French term. That's the aromatics. That's onions, celery, and carrots.
That's so, me.
Yeah, okay. So you do a pot roast. So you do them in big pieces.
Mm-hmm.
If you have fried rice, it's got little teeny pieces.
Okay, when we get back, quick break. Which foods have the most nutrition for the least cost? Right back. Do stay tuned. Well, welcome back. This is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here. And we're talking about food and how to buy food and get a lot of good food for a very reasonable cost. Can we feed a family of four good food for less than $10? Well, Mike Round suggests we can. Mike, where is your website, by the way? Let's see, I better press the button here, I guess. Hold on. There you go. Now, what's your website, Mike?
MealsForLessMoney.com.
MealsForLessMoney.com.
Yeah, and I've got a whole bunch of free recipes up there for people so that they can learn how to do things, including a way to really start saving a lot of money. I know a lot of people have become junkies of the coffee shops. I show you how to set up your own coffee bar with all of the exotic additives in there. So for about 15 cents a cup, you can match what you get down at the coffee places for $8.
What about all the pretty girls that hang around the coffee shops? Do you supply those too?
No, but let me share something with you, Michael. One of the spinoffs of this particular program, I did a special for Cox Cable called Dorm Room Cooking, and we sent freshmen off to school learning how to cook in their dorm rooms using a microwave mini fridge, which is all you can have from a safety standpoint.
Right.
And one of the young men said, "Why do I want to learn to cook?" And I said, "Do you like getting dates?" And he said, "Of course." I said, "Learn to cook."
It works every time.
Yeah, you want to attract dates? It'll work every time.
So let me ask you this. Which foods, I'm heading for the farmer's market after the radio show today, and which foods will I find that have the most nutrition for the least cost?
Well, probably the best thing that you can do is to head over to the frozen food section, and they will have...
At the farmer's market?
Oh, the farmer's market?
Yeah.
No, okay. At the farmer's market, you're probably limited to fruits and vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, every now and then you'll find somebody selling caramel corn or something like that, and you might find somebody who's selling sausage sandwiches. But you're pretty much going to be with fruits and vegetables. You know, this depends kind of on what you like. Obviously, vegetables are good for you. Vegetarians are doing very well, and you can find lots of good vegetables for the money, and they have different things. Carrots have a different nutritional value than green beans do. I think it's kind of what you like and what you want to prepare. There's lots of ways to prepare things, and I'd like to share a website with your listeners. It's called supercook.com.
Mm-hmm.
In my book, The 99-Cent Gourmet, I reference it. And one of the problems that people have, you know, you look at the pantry and you say, rats, I don't have anything to eat. Well, you do. You just don't like what you've got there. Supercook.com is an unusual website. You type in what you've got, like lima beans.
Oh, cool.
And it will give you a bazillion recipes on what to do with lima beans.
Uh-huh.
So shopping for what you like, shopping for what's fresh, works, and if you have access to a lot of different ways to prepare it, which doesn't have to cost a lot of money, it makes sense to buy what's currently in the season.
Do you have trouble talking people into preparing their own food?
Yeah, I do.
That's the hardest part, isn't it?
Yeah. In terms of the concerns that we have these days, time is the big issue, Michael.
Is it faster to eat fast food than it is to cook at home?
Only if you're stopping on the way to or from someplace. Going out and coming back is about the same amount of time as it takes to
cook your own food.
Yeah, I did an analysis. All the breakdowns are in my book, and people were shocked. They said, yeah, I guess it does.
Well, I certainly recognize that. But, hey, this has been The Food Chain, and we've talked about how to shop for food and get more for less with Mike Rounds, the 99-cent gourmet. Really want to thank you for joining us today, Mike, and I'm going to go out and figure out if I can shop more and or shop smarter and get more food for less money. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.